Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to talk about how you can potentially acquire property for little to no money down in this market. Well, actually, because of this market. These are little known strategies because, put simply, they haven't been used for the last decade or so. They are vendor or seller finance strategies. So seller finance or owner finance is literally, as the name would suggest, when the seller helps finance the property. And we have had quite a generous lending environment for many years now, and we've had historically low rates for a very long time. So we are in a market now that's shifting, a market where there are far more sellers than there are buyers. It's a spring market. Spring and summer are the times when people want to bring their properties onto the market. And whilst sellers aren't necessarily dumping houses and heading for the exit, there's not a mass exodus. It's probably normal spring stock. It's just that buyers are very skittish because times are very uncertain. Rates are going higher. Plus, buyers are finding it more and more difficult to get the financing they need to pay the prices that sellers want. And if the banks aren't lending the money because it's harder to qualify for a loan because rates are higher, so serviceability is more difficult, it means that sellers have one option. They have to meet the buyers at the level of finance the buyers can achieve. Vendor finance strategies have been used in Australia for over a century. They came in about the 1880s. And that was when there was so much land and quite a small population. So banks weren't willing to lend on land. That meant that developers and owners of land, when selling off plots of land all around Australia, had to fund it themselves. So what did they do? They said to buyers, well, pay me what you've got. If that's a pound, pay me a pound now and then pay me a pound a month for the next 4 months or whatever the case was. So the seller who owned the property let the buyer pay it off over time. And the seller was like the bank because banks wouldn't otherwise lend. And throughout history, especially when there's a falling market and where it's a buyer's market, where there are a whole lot of sellers and not as many buyers, and the buyers are finding it tough to get finance, vendor finance strategies rear their heads again. So why is vendor finance useful in a market like this one? Well, it's great for sellers because they can potentially attract more buyers, buyers who wouldn't otherwise qualify for a bank loan, or maybe they haven't saved up enough of a deposit to qualify for an ordinary loan. Perhaps they've got bad credit or they don't fit into rigid bank serviceability equations and formulas. With seller finance, the seller can construct the terms to suit the buyer. So perhaps a property is going for $500,000, and to get a bank loan, a buyer would need $100,000 and they borrow $400,000 from the bank, right? They have to have 20% deposit plus stamp duty and all sorts of costs on top of that. What if they've only saved up $20,000 and they can't get to the $100,000, well, the seller could potentially fund the rest of the purchase. Now, there's a few ways to do this. Seller financing can be deposit finance. In other words, if the buyer only has $20,000 saved up and they can qualify for another $400,000 from the bank, that's $420,000. If the seller wants $500,000, then the seller can lend, notionally, the buyer $80,000. And that $80,000 deposit finance can be secured by the seller as a second mortgage after the bank. So these are all terms that can go into the contract up front. Another way to structure a seller or owner finance deal is via installment contracts. So that's where the buyer pays their deposit, whatever they have. Let's say it's $20,000 and contracts are exchanged, but the buyer moves in straight away upon exchange. And then the property will have a very long settlement. It may be years, a five-year settlement, and the buyer will pay an installment every month that comes off the purchase price. So it might be $5,000 or $6,000 a month. The seller can structure it to what they can afford and they'll chip away at it. The idea is that ultimately in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, they will have built up enough equity to refinance with a mainstream lender. The idea of that then is, as far as the seller is concerned, they're getting their asking price. And as far as the buyer is concerned, they're taking advantage of a down market and they're locking in a purchase price. Often when buyers are struggling to save up enough deposit and qualify for a bank loan, they miss the market. And while they're constantly saving up in a rising market, prices are just getting away from them. The deposit they need gets higher and higher and they just can't catch up. If they can lock in a price now while the market is relatively down and then they can start making repayments, that's the equivalent of their deposit. It's forced savings, but they've locked in a low price for the current market and they're not chasing their tail. And the third way to structure seller finance is what's known as a lease option or a rent to own, you may have heard of it called. So a rent to own involves a few legal documents. First of all, there's a lease, like a residential tenancy agreement where the tenant pays X dollars a month. That's their rent. But there is also another document called an option agreement. So that is an agreement to buy the property at a certain time within a period. So it may be a 2-year option or a 5-year option. And attached to that option agreement is a contract for sale. So again, the seller is locking in a price for this down market. So it may be that they're renting the property for $2,000 a month, but they have an option to purchase that property anytime within the next 5 years for $500,000. So they've locked in the price and they could exercise the option and buy the property this year or next year or anytime within the next 5 years. They may be paying above market rent, and another way to structure it is that excess of payment goes towards the purchase of the property so that the tenant is actually getting their foot on the property and the potential of home ownership. So there's three great vendor finance strategies that are really good for a down or a falling and uncertain market where there are more sellers than there are buyers and where banks are not lending as freely, where credit is hard to come by. It's great for for sellers because they can be flexible in all their other terms, but they can stick to their asking price, no need to drop it or have a fire sale to meet the market. And it's great for buyers who couldn't otherwise get on the property ladder because they may not have been qualified for a typical bank loan. They may not have enough deposit yet, but they want to take advantage of lower prices and work their way or save their way into ultimate ownership. And the seller's in a unique position to help them do that when traditional finance options are not a fit. So great seller finance strategies, often with little to no money down in this market. If you want to know more about seller financing, click on the link in the comments or the description section because we have programs and educational courses with more information all about seller or vendor finance. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia, and just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.